Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler, and we are in our Connect Four series, where we are talking about the importance of connection and being joined together in Christian community with other believers. This week, we are talking about the Bible's call to maturity. That's right. Over and over, the Bible tells us we need to grow up. How do we do that? And how can our brothers and sisters in Christ help us? That's what I'll be talking about with Pastor Rafe Wright next. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I am here with Rafe.
Semi-often.
Rafe. Rafe has been joining us more and more because he's been preaching.
Yeah. You preach more and more, you do the podcast more
and
more.
That's right. That's part of the gig. It's a twofer. So we are in the middle of our Connect Four series, and you are in week three, which we are focused on growing as a community, growing in community and growing as a community.
And growing in the Word.
Yes, I know that's going to be your focus, and I'm going to let you get there. But first, I want to ask you, I asked this of Bruce, but you know, you're actually the adult ministries pastor, so that means you're over life groups and discipleship classes and men's and women's ministries and all these things. So from your perspective, what do you hope our groups are like? Like, what is your vision?
In our world context today, we hope for, the metaphor I would use is a family.
Okay.
Just think of how a family functions and how a family should care for one another, love one another, support one another, encourage one another. You know, our life groups, we kind of say they're family and families are forever. Now, at the same time, let me just put a caveat there. As your children grow up, hopefully they leave the nest and go get married. So we do multiply and we launch out and plant new life groups.
Yes, because we want to be growing new leaders.
That's a family model.
Yes, absolutely.
But it's still part of the family. So while they're in the home, then it's, it is the things. We would say in life groups, it's focused on care, growing in the Word, and impact, which are the three sermons we're doing in August.
Wonder why. Yes, absolutely. But that's what we want to see. We want to see healthy relationships in these families, good community, good connection.
Yeah, you think about the 35 distinct one another commands that are in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Where do you get to live those out?
Yeah.
It's in your Bible study, in your small group, in your life group.
It's not something you can really live out so well on Sunday morning when you just come in and out.
You're sitting in a row, you're looking at the back of a head, someone's looking at the back of your head, you wondered if you combed your hair right, there's not a lot of one another's going on.
Right. So, yes, so these small groups is where really the real knitting together that Paul talks about happens.
Yeah, everybody's got a role in a family. Well, within a healthy small group, everybody should have a role, something that they do. Maybe somebody is kind of the person who takes the point on prayer. Someone takes the point on social activities. Somebody maybe researches future studies that you do if you're not doing sermon-based studies.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody has a part to play. Okay, so sometimes it's good to start out defining our terms.
Okay.
Sometimes we need to all make sure we're on the same page and go back to the basics. But what does it mean? We're talking about this week, how do you grow in your group and as a group? Mm-hmm. And so what are we talking about when we say we want people to grow in their faith or we want people to mature spiritually? What does that look like? What's the goal?
Yeah. the model is perfection. It's Jesus.
Jesus.
So, we're all going to come short.
Yeah.
We get that. But we have to have something to aspire to. We have to have something to, a bullseye, a target to aim at. Well, think about the Great Commission. Jesus said, teach them everything I taught you.
Yeah.
Teach them to obey everything I taught. So a mature believer would be growing and obeying the things that Jesus taught. Core doctrines important. the writers of the New Testament, the apostles.
Yeah.
You know, they're not getting this stuff out of the cloud. They're in their Old Testament, mm-hmm. and they're teaching, okay, Old Testament doctrine, how does this apply to Christ? Oh, Christ fulfilled this. And they're expounding on it. They're teaching us the Jesus envisioned Old Testament, in a sense. You know, Christian virtues, you're growing in the Christian virtues. You have the mindset of Christ. Think Philippians 2. You know, it's about humility. It's the fruit of the Spirit. We did a summer series on it.
We just did the fruit of the Spirit. So that's a good, if you need a refresher, you can go back to those nine fruits of the Spirit.
And I would just say, if you want to encapsulate it, okay, we're called to be lifelong learners. Mm. Like we're to never stop growing.
Yeah, because God, no one is going to get to the end of their knowledge of God.
You're not going to exhaust your knowledge of God.
Yeah, that's impossible. So there's always something more to learn. And so, the Bible is so deep.
Yeah, mature is not a destination for us.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to get to a place where we can say, okay, I'm mature, but you're always maturing.
Until you go to meet Jesus face to face.
And when you stop, it's not like, okay, well, I stopped at point 37, so I'll just stay there forever. No, you start regressing.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, there is really no stasis.
There's no status quo.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you're either moving forward or you're
going forward or you're going back. Because
that's so true.
You forget things. The things come in and take up priority.
That is so true. So we want people to be mature and, like you said, in virtue. We want them to be ever growing in their knowledge of God.
Sure.
And we want people to live out their faith in their everyday life. Like it should be something
should have practical a practical outworking.
Right. Like it should affect your job. It should affect your parenting. It should affect everything. Your friend, how you're a friend.
Yeah, we don't compartmentalize. It's not like my Christian thing on Sunday. It's like I'm a Christian and it impacts everything about me and everything I do,
say, the decisions I make on everything. Yeah, absolutely. So that's what we're aiming for. So that sounds like a solitary pursuit, Rafe. Convince me that I need a group to do that.
Okay, well...
she asked facetiously.
Yeah, so the Trinity exists in a group, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus pulled a group around him. He sent them out two by two. He formed communities that show the world what the future kingdom of God is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
We were never designed to be lone rangers, to be alone. God is calling us into a family. And then, okay, go to the end of the Bible. Mm-hmm. What's the end picture? God's running a family business on this new global Eden with, billions of loyal followers.
Yeah.
And everybody's engaged. It's everybody's creation.
Yeah.
And we do it together.
Yes. So it's not... I know there are some people who just want to take their Bible and go in their closet and read their Bible and think that that's enough. But what you're saying is our small groups can be really essential to growing.
Well, yeah. I mean, just think about, lots of scripture, lots of verses, but just, one of the Proverbs. We're to sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't do that alone.
Yeah.
You know, all your blind spots... Stay blind.
Yeah.
We're to mutually encourage each other, hold each other accountable. Who's going to mutually encourage you if you're by yourself? You can. Yeah. What we tend to do is we overestimate things about ourselves and we underestimate things about ourselves. Mm. We need some keen insight from others to lovingly hold us accountable and to encourage us when we're down and we need encouragement. That only happens in community. When you're in community and you're talking, okay, I lead a life group.
Yes.
I've got a master's in theology. I study theology all the time. People in my group who haven't done the kind of theological training I do say some pretty wise things that help me all the time.
Very insightful, yes.
Yeah. So all of us together are smarter than any one of us alone.
That is absolutely true.
And that collective wisdom, it's like, I never thought of it from that perspective. Wow, I never had that experience. I didn't think about that. Ooh, yeah, that makes me think about, X, Y, Z. So the way that God has designed the body is we need each other. Of course, we got the body image, the metaphor in 1 Corinthians, okay? A hand, a foot, an eye, you know. There are body parts you don't think you need till you don't have them.
Until you stub that little toe, and then you're like, oh, that little toe is really
important.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really a joy. I love being around other believers and discussing the Bible with them. Because like you said, you know, you may have read a commentary and done some sort of quote unquote formal training in it. But sometimes people, because they're gifted differently,
absolutely,
will see things and experience things, like you said, and bring something that you never would have been able to think of on your own.
Yeah, they hit
and
a different nuance. They get it from another viewpoint, another perspective. And it's like, okay, it adds breadth to it.
Yeah. Well, and I think we can easily get off, you know, in error if we don't have other people sort of checking us.
Sure.
Like,
absolutely.
It's really helpful to have people go, I don't know about that, Lisa.
Yeah, sounds kind of novel or sounds interesting, but, well, we better check that
one.
Yeah,
we better check that. So it's just good to have those people who you've given permission because you've been in a group situation. There's a amount of trust built,
right,
that can feel comfortable to say, yeah, maybe that website's not the best. maybe don't go to that website. Maybe don't follow that guy on YouTube with his interesting theories. So we can grow really together in the group. And I know that you're really passionate about seeing people mature. So you're going to preach this weekend on Hebrews 5, 11 through 6, 2. And so we talked about this a little bit this morning. This is a little bit harsh. The author of Hebrews is not pulling any punches in this
He's not,
passage.
Yeah. You know, we say sarcasm is always wrong.
But it's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible. It's in this passage.
he's not super happy with the level of maturity of the believers he's talking to.
Yeah, but the thing is, okay, he's not angry at them.
No,
he
doesn't.
No. You know,
he's trying to bring them along.
He doesn't hate them. He's just so overwhelmed with concern for these people.
Yeah.
We think about it. Look, there's a lot of warning passages all throughout the Bible.
Yes.
Jesus gave a lot of strong warning passages. So this writer to the Hebrews, chapter 3, chapter 4, here in chapter 5, in the next section is one of the biggest ones on the whole Bible. The next verses, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 or 10. And then you get to chapter 10, and he ups the ante again. Mm-hmm. So these warning passages, they have teeth, and they have teeth for a reason, because he's deeply concerned about where they're at, their mindset, their perspective. And, you know, we have to, okay, go back to the first century. Like, historically, here today in McKinney, Texas, we're not in that cultural context. These people were suffering.
Yeah.
There was massive persecution all throughout the Roman Empire and in the places that where these letters are being distributed and circulated. But trusting in Christ meant being disowned by family and friends. I mean, there was a cost to discipleship. And some of them, just quite frankly, they're falling away. They're dropping like flies. And so he uses the Old Testament, where a whole generation fell away, to warn the believers in the church that he's writing to, don't repeat what they did.
Yeah.
And you know what the truth is? People are falling away today.
We repeat that. Yeah, it says because they're rebellion. They're don't.
Yeah. Unbelief and rebellion.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so he uses a metaphor in these verses that actually Paul uses too. Well, assume Paul may have written Hebrews, so it may be his metaphor too.
Yeah, never know.
Never know. That's a mystery. But what is the metaphor that he uses that he compares to how to maturing in Christ?
So he calls them milk drinkers and infants.
Infants, babies.
Now, you get this little cute image of Gerbers and, you know, the banana pudding or the squash peas and, you know, little choo-choo train coming, or the baby bottle with formula. Okay, they didn't have Gerbers. They didn't have bottles. They didn't have baby formula back then. He's talking about adults breastfeeding.
Yes. So it's like a very...
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, he is shaming them.
Yeah.
Because he loves them. I know that's hard to get.
Yeah.
But he's like, you guys got to wake up. He's trying to shake them by the collars.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we all need a kick in the pants because we're just like not getting it. And so he's just like, let me give you an image.
I think this weekend I'll have everybody stand up and then I'll give them a, you know, a good, from the stage, kick in the pants, right?
But, you know, sometimes you just need some plain speaking, right? You just need someone to go, look, I'm going to present you with this image, and this reminds me of you. You are a baby, an infant.
Yeah, he is. This is a frontal attack.
Yeah. 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 And so what does he say they need to be? How would they be, in his mind, more adult? What would it mean for him to mature?
Some of them kind of, I'm going to use an analogy that's not in the sermon, but it's kind of like, okay, I got my insurance policy. I have fire insurance from you know, eternal separation from God.
Yeah.
And so I can keep a foot in Judaism, mm-hmm. and I can keep my insurance policy foot in Christianity.
Whichever one turns out to be right.
And I can like back off of the mission so the Roman culture doesn't persecute me.
Yeah.
And I can be comfortable and I can be safe. And he's saying that isn't going to cut it. Mm. Other people and generations have tried that. Didn't work out so well for them.
They fall away.
Yeah.
You can't maintain because at some point your faith's going to be challenged.
Yeah. So he said, you know, it's time for you to get off of the bottle, or actually what there's time to stop breastfeeding.
Yeah.
It's time to go on to the deeper truths because you're not going to make it to the end. Mm. You're not going to persevere the way that is required of you to persevere if you don't get into some of the deeper teaching that's designed to equip you and strengthen you and build in steadfastness and perseverance in your faith. Mm-hmm. There's the parable of the sower and the soils.
Right.
Right? The farmer throwing the seed.
Yeah.
Four soils. Two of them fall away. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's concerned his audience is one of those two soils.
Okay.
And so one of them, it's cares of life and riches. Okay, that's probably a big concern for our culture.
You think?
Yeah. He's concerned about they don't want to suffer and face persecution. And so they're falling away.
Okay.
Now, the reality is, yeah, the cares of life and riches is a problem for us, but the persecution's coming.
Yeah.
Because our culture's changing. We're not the old Bible Belt of 20, 40 years ago. Things are not as safe as they were, and it's going to keep changing.
Yeah. Yes. Until Jesus returns.
And yeah. And as it gets closer and closer, whenever that is, things will intensify.
Yes. So what does this mean for us, Rafe? What does this mean? How should we then mature?
Yeah. Well, the NIV is a dynamic equivalent. It's not trying to be one-to-one word
thought
literal.
Thought.
Yeah, it's thought for thought. So you miss some of the cool Greek words in the NIV. Like there's a word that means lazy, sluggish, you know, indifferent, those kind of things. And it's like, okay, we need to stop being that.
Okay.
We need to be intentional, and we need to keep going deeper into understanding God's word.
Okay. And so you think really what he's talking about in this passage is you need to understand and dig into the scriptures.
You need to understand the deep truths about God, Christ, you, who you are, your future, the church, the mission that are in the word.
Okay.
Because those things are going to gird you and strengthen you for the things that assail you in life. And so that you won't be one of those two soils who falls away either because of cares of life and riches or suffering, persecution, and hardship.
Yeah, you can sink roots deep.
And you will bear fruit that lasts.
Yeah, that's good. So I know small groups is a place where we want people to, we want the word to be part of our small groups.
Absolutely.
Right. The community aspect's great. We want fun social things. We want prayer requests. We want all that. But we also need to have it rooted in, like, we all need to be growing in our knowledge of God.
Yeah. And so, you know, one of our discipleship kind of pathways that we have here at Christ Fellowship is what we call the sermon-based studies.
Yeah.
So you do the Engage God Daily for 5 days. So you're doing a devotional that's preparing you for the sermon. You come and you hear the word preached. So, you know, in the wisdom method that Bruce developed 35, 40 years ago, it's kind of, you listen to an expert. Okay, well, we're the expert on the stage in that model. And then you go to group and you discuss what you read in your daily, Engage God Daily, what you heard from the stage. So you discuss it and then you go share it with someone else. And so it's to ingrain the word in you.
And that's, in that discussion, you go, okay, how are we going to apply this?
Yeah.
You know, because the Engage God Daily and this podcast, I would say, could be part of that as well, because we go through the passages as well. And then also the, obviously the sermon. And then, but that's sort of general truth aimed at lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, we're really in your small group that you go, okay, well, what is, how does this apply to me?
Yeah.
How am I going to live this?
How have I been, how's this truth? What does this truth say about me? What does I need? What do I need to do in light of this truth? What am I going to do?
So that's,
and then you
so
got
essential.
People to hold you accountable.
Yeah. Cause that's where the rubber really meets the road of your faith. It's like, you know, we can just grow in knowledge until our head explodes.
Sure.
But that's not the point. The point is, how are you going to live this out and move forward?
And we have other groups too.
And that's what I was going to ask you. So life groups, of course, you know, we want people to have a primary family.
Yeah. It's a family.
But we also offer lots of other opportunities here at Christ Fellowship.
Yeah, we do. So think of it as, okay, think of it as in terms of you have a, in the Acts chapter 2, they met in the temple courts. Okay, that's your worship center. When you come here on Sundays, that's Christ Fellowship, and house to house. That's your small group. That'd be your family. So life groups. But there's times you need care. So we have care groups.
Yes.
So I use the metaphor of a hospital or a clinic. Okay, you know, sometimes you're shoring up things. It's not that something's broken or, you
know. Right, it's not that you're in a crisis.
It's not terminal cancer. Yeah. You know, it could be you got a scrape or you just want to get a checkup.
Yeah.
Give me a checkup. How am I doing? So we've got marriage. We've got parenting. We've got Financial Peace University. We've got regeneration. Those fall in the kind of the hospital clinic, whether it's a checkup to see how you're doing or you want to work on something. But the idea is that you don't move in there and stay forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and when you go to the hospital, you don't start ordering furniture off Wayfair.
To decorate your room.
And putting up, you know, pictures on the wall. Yeah. Like, you know, you're not moving in. You go, you address the things you need, then you get back out and you do the things you normally do.
Yeah.
But there's also sometimes, well, you need to go to school.
Yeah.
And school are what our Bible studies are. This is where you get theology, doctoral teaching, and it's what this passage is talking about.
Yeah.
It's what these folks need. Yeah. You know, you should always be continued, lifelong learner, mm-hmm. always growing, always learning. You're never going to exhaust the theology in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so you should regularly be going to school, so to speak.
Yeah. And those are our courses like Digging Deeper.
Yeah, our Explore series, Women's and Men's Bible Studies, our Digging Deeper series. Those are designed. It's, you know, it's designed for learning.
Yeah.
Now, you still have community.
Yes.
You still get to meet people.
There's still care.
Yeah, all those things happen, but the focus is on education.
On the study, yeah.
The focus in life group is community. The focus in the care groups are on addressing those felt needs.
Yeah, that's good. That helps people, I think, clarify in their minds, what are the difference between all these things that we offer?
Sure. And then as a, you know, life group leaders are... we encourage them, if they have someone in their group who needs care at that moment, say, hey, why don't you take a break from life group this semester and go do Financial Peace University or Intentional Parenting or whatever that might be.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why we provide all this variety, because we know that people have different needs.
Yeah. When you've got over 4,000 people, you know, that kind of periodically come over time.
Yeah.
You've got to have a lot of things to meet a lot of needs.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's cool is when you do go to one of these, you know, classes where the objective is more study and learning, the neat thing is it's always great when you have someone in your group who's going to one of those, because they bring back and share what they're learning.
They do.
So you can be a blessing to your small group by, you know, learning some new things and going, gosh, I just gained this new insight on 1 Corinthians I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And then you share it.
Yeah.
And everybody gets to benefit.
Yeah. And one of the cool things about our Digging Deeper series is because we do it in the treehouse and because it's a large room and we do it around round tables, every time we offer it, we've got life groups who come and fill up a table.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean 100% of the people from the life group come. But there are times where you've got 6 or 8 or 4 from various life groups. And it's like, oh, this is our women's Bible study table. This is this life. My life group has always taken a table.
Well, they have to because you're
They there. Have to because I'm teaching it. So I make them know.
It's like you don't get to be in the right life group unless you come to Digging Deeper.
Well, you know, ooh, boy, we would take about
Half the tables?
Four, yeah, 6 tables now.
Yeah, the right life group has gotten rather hefty.
Yeah, well, I saw a call out, shout out for new life group leaders.
Yes. Well, that is part of what he says in that passage that you're going to talk about, is some of you should be teachers by now.
And he shames them.
Yeah.
You ought. The word ought,
yeah.
Should. There's responsibility, duty in that word.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? You ought to be teachers.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm going to have to go back to the ABCs with you.
Oh, no. I can't wait for the sermon. I hope the people are ready. Rafe, it is most snarky.
Well, okay. You got to capture, you know, the
well, you're just trying to be faithful to the text.
To the author. Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's why I picked this text. Okay, well, I want to talk a little bit about the Digging Deeper class that you're offering this year. And I'm going to pop in and out as you need me. But it's on the book of Revelation. And I think some people that it really excites and some people that really terrifies. And there's a lot of people in the middle.
Yeah, it should do both those things, by the way.
So tell us a little bit about this, because it's a little bit different approach to Revelation than probably a lot of people have experienced.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm over-speaking here, but I think it's going to be that you've never experienced Revelation like this.
Okay.
Because I think it will be vastly different.
Okay.
You know, we're in the kind of DTS realm around here and under, you know, lots of dispensation. I was trained on all that.
Yes, me too. Lots of charts, many charts.
Charts and end time systems and, you know, this linear chronology and literal interpretation. Yeah, it's not going to be that.
Ooh.
But let me tell you this. We had over 200 people in between two Edens.
Yeah.
And they, you know, to a man said that rocked their world.
Yeah.
It was eye-opening to them. This is going to be the same way.
That's good.
All right. The way we're going to do Revelation is going to amaze you. It's going to astound
blow your mind.
And it's going to scare you. But ultimately, it will comfort you.
Yeah.
We're not going to do end time theories or systems.
We're not going to try to figure out who the Antichrist is, Rafe.
You're not going to tell you his name, you know. But you know, we will talk about him.
Yes.
And you're going to find out some things you can bank on.
Mm.
Right? And it's not things you've probably heard before.
Okay.
We're not going to do end time charts. And I'm not going to try to blow up all the end time systems.
Sure.
But from time to time, I am going to drop some hand grenades.
No nuclear weapons.
No,
maybe.
We're not going to nuke them.
Occasional,
but you're going to realize, okay, that chart just isn't going to work.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Every system cheats.
What do you mean by cheat?
Well, they twist some things, and sometimes they'll use one verse in one part of their chart, and it fits real well. But then another part of their chart, that same verse, they got to turn it the opposite way to make it fit their chart.
So there's some finagling going on.
There's some finagling. So, you know, we'll highlight some of those just so you're aware.
Right. But what do you think people will leave feeling like when they get through this course?
All right.
I mean, after they've had their minds blown and been scared and been...
Okay, 70% of the verses in Revelation, John is alluding to the Old Testament. Some of the verses, he alludes to 4 or 5 different Old Testament passages all in one verse.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to leave here knowing your Old Testament. We're going to teach you Old Testament theology, exactly what the writer of the Hebrews is chiding his people about.
Yeah.
And we're going to teach you doctrine. You're going to leave knowing who God is, you're going to learn some amazing things about Jesus, things that you didn't know about the baby born in Bethlehem in the manger. And you're going to learn some things about God. We're also, you're going to learn some things that you thought were, oh, that's just all in the distant future. I probably wouldn't be here for now. You know, there are commands, many, that God is holding you accountable for today. What? What commands? Well, guess what? The fact that you don't know them doesn't mean that you're not being held accountable.
Oh my gosh, you're trying to scare people now, Rafe. They're not even there yet. You got to wait until they show up at the class.
If I were you, I would want to know what I'm being held accountable for. So register.
Wow, and now that was the hard sell right there, Rafe.
All right. Look.
Go ahead.
So I could go on for 30 minutes about some of the cool stuff. There's some spoiler alerts. Okay, if you don't want to hear the spoiler alert, close your ears now. The seal judgments, the trumpets and the bowls, you think they're all future? Okay, I'm just going to have you, I'm not going to answer it. Just go to seal 6, trumpet 6, bowl 6. They all sound the same. Mm-hmm. They're all pulling from the same Old Testament passages. Mm. They're day of the Lord passages, the end of the world. How many times does the world end?
I hope only once.
Well, after the bowls, then you get the Battle of Armageddon, Day of the Lord. The world ends.
Yeah.
Wait, then after that, you've got a 1,000-year passage, and then you've got Gog and Magog, and the Day of the Lord passages, and the world ends again. How many times does the world end? Okay. Is there a rapture in Revelation?
Oh no, you're really gonna
tell you now.
People now.
Yeah, listen, we're gonna unpack John symbols. And so all this figurative language, all this stuff, it's like, oh, I don't know what this is talking about. You're gonna know. In fact, I've got a running chart that we're gonna run all through where it says this symbol equals this, this symbol equals this, this symbol equals this. You're gonna know what the symbols refer to. Just one cool thing, fifth trumpet judgment. You get these creatures that come out of the abyss.
Yes.
And they are scary described. Okay, people think, oh, John must be seeing future, you know, 21st or 35th century weapons and all this stuff. No, it's right in your Old Testament. We're going to take you to the passages. Jude talks about it. 2 Peter talks about it. Jesus talked about them. John's talking about them. We're going to show you who these bad boys are and what they're here to do.
All right. Well, that is a good, that's good. No, this is going to be a really, really good class.
Listen, this thing ought to be standing room only. We ought to have 250 people packed in there with people standing at the door beating on it to get in.
Begging to come in. But look, here's the thing that's awesome, because some people are saying, well, it's on Thursday night. My kid has soccer practice on Thursday night.
Have I got a deal for you?
Have I got a deal for you? Go ahead,
Rafe. We are recording every single session. We've got brand new screens in the treehouse, brand new cameras. So everything will be recorded so you can do it on demand.
Yes.
There are people, you know, kids, okay, your kid has 8 or 9 games on Thursday night. Well, we're doing a chapter a week. There's 22 chapters. It's going to go 22 weeks. You won't miss 22. But even if you're a church online person and you never come to 2801 Orchid, you can do it on demand.
Yes.
Now, guess what? I'm so
but
confident.
Wait, there's more?
There's more. Yeah, I'm so confident. You are going to be blown away by what you learn. I'm going to offer you a money-back guarantee.
Oh, look at that.
You don't like the course? I'll refund your registration. All right. Here's what. It's less than $1 a chapter. But I'll refund 100%
of
it.
Tell me more, Rafe. Tell me more.
Hey, there's more. You're thinking, okay, I want to come. I want to be in person. I want to set the tables and build community and talk to folks. But the childcare thing, how can I do that for 22 weeks? Call me. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's always true, by the way. We want you to be a part of groups and classes. And if you are you have a financial hardship, please don't hesitate to come to the ministry leader and just, you know, explain that. Because most of the time we do have some generous people. I have people in women's Bible study who are very generous. And if I go, hey, could you sponsor someone to take, you know, buy their book or whatever, they're willing to do it.
Yeah.
So don't ever let finances keep you from doing some of these classes.
Never
we
say
want
no
to help
God.
You out.
Never say no to God because of money.
Yeah, that's right. We want to help you. We want to figure out a way to make it possible for you. Yeah. So, well, this, I mean, I'm pumped up and I already knew all this.
Good. Register.
So yes, it's going to be great. And I love digging deeper too. The content is always excellent. But the community is really fun too. It's really neat to get around these tables, talk about this stuff, share.
And it's not
going to
be all lecture. There's going to be table discussion. There'll be large group discussion. There'll be, you know, Q&A. It'll be interactive.
Yeah, and that's always the time always goes by really fast.
Super fast.
Yeah. So we hope everyone signs up for Digging Deeper, and we all look forward to hearing you shame us on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, it'll be fun. So the author to Hebrews will shame you, not me.
Oh, that's right. We're going to make sure we make that clear. Rafe's just the vehicle.
I'm just the mouthpiece.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Rafe, will you close us in prayer?
All right. Well, Father in heaven above, Lord, we do hear your heart, that you want us to know you and to know your word. And the reason you want that is because it will equip us for the decisions in life, to know good from evil, and to be able to persevere in the face of obstacles and hardship and suffering. So, Lord, give us the grace to make these things a priority, digging into your word. And we trust you will do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, everybody. We will see you back next week. All right. Thank you, Ray. That was great.
Good.
Appreciate that.